Strong Men's Retreat 2025 was a powerful time of learning from the Bible what it means to be a man. In this message, listen in and learn from the Bible what it means to be strong.
Grab your Bibles if you would tonight and turn to the book of Proverbs. If you've never read through the book of Proverbs, you got to read it. It's so good for you, so helpful, so practical in so many ways. Proverbs 22 is where we're going to be at. Let me grab it there myself. We were talking this past week at the pastor's retreat, and some folks had asked me what my favorite book of the Bible was. I said, right now it's the book of Proverbs, because you don't have to really know a lot of background, a lot of backstory. You don't have to, you know, understand who's writing it. You just need to read it and obey it. Right. And it's just so really good. It's so simple, so practical. As you'll see this week, my messages are really basic. They're really simple. Pastor Chadwick is a much better preacher of the Bible. And this is not a false humility. I love to hear him preach because it's so different than what I do. I'm really just kind of a basic meat and potatoes guy. He's more of a, like a 7-8 course meal kind of guy. But for me, I'm just like, hey, let's get to the meat of it and just figure out what we do with that. And so forgive me if it's simplistic for you, but I know it's going to be applicable and helpful to you this week. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 3. We're only going to take a look at one verse tonight and unpack it and figure out how it applies to our lives and what we do with it. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 3. If you're in the habit of highlighting in your Bible, which I recommend that you do, writing in your Bible, circle verse number 3, put a star beside this, underline it, commit it to memory, meditate on it this week, live by it for the rest of your life. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Here's the jumping point off for everything this week, guys, and you got to hear this. If you hear nothing else that I say all week, hear this. You and I are born into this world as the enemies of God. We've broken God's law. We stand in danger of God's judgment. Your sin and mine are enough to send us to hell for all of eternity, and that's what we deserve. It's not that God's being unfair or unkind. That's exactly God's justice. But God loves you so much, and God loves me so much, that he would send his son Jesus to die in our place. I was supposed to die. Jesus died for me. I was supposed to be punished. Jesus was punished for me. And anyone that comes to Jesus Christ and confesses their sin and their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior can be saved in a split second. I would be foolish to think that a group of men like this, that there's not somebody in here tonight that is unsure of their salvation or is teeter-tottering on that. Just get it fixed tonight. Some of you might have even prayed a prayer in your vacation Bible school. You're not really sure if it took or not because you don't see any fruit in your life. If you are unsure in the least, just get it squared away tonight. Amen. It's not a matter of turning over a new leaf or doing better. It's a matter of knowing for a fact that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Nothing the rest of this week will really make sense to you or click or be applicable if you don't get that squared away first. Right. And so I, and again, it's not becoming a Baptist. It's not joining a church. We're not going to take you out here and baptize you in the lake or anything like that. You need to know that your sins are forgiven and heaven is your home. Amen. If you've never been born again, Jesus says this in John chapter 3, verse number 3, no man shall see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Gentlemen, if you don't know for sure, just say, get saved tonight. But tonight, what we're taking a look at in this passage specifically is sanctification. What does it look like after we put our faith in Jesus? And so again, to break it down, I'm a very, very elementary type person. What do we mean when we talk about sanctification? Just living like Jesus. Amen. I'm putting to death the old version of me, and I'm alive to the Jesus version of me now, in very, very basic terms. It doesn't mean that I will be sinless, hang with me for a second, but it means that I will sin less, is the idea behind this. The old me must die, Jesus must come alive in me. And let me just say, it's easier said than done. It's not a matter of in 24 hours I can be like Jesus. It's a lifetime journey that we go on, this process of sanctification. Yeah. And so when we take a look at this passage of scripture tonight, it tells us that when we see danger, we should hide ourselves. But if we don't, we're going to get punished. How many of you here have ever gone to the city of London and ridden the underground, the tube, the train there? Raise your hand if you've been there before. In the tube there, when you get on the train, there's a gap of about this much between you and the sidewalk, the platform that you step off onto. And they have a recording that comes on and they say, your train is arriving, mind the gap. And the idea is there's only a very small space there, but if you fall in that, you will get severely hurt and or die. Yeah. And that gap doesn't seem like a lot, but people get hurt there all the time. People have died there because they didn't pay attention to the gap. And so you'll hear that come over the speaker all the time. Your train is arriving. Door's opening now. Please mind the gap. And the idea is watch out for that gap because it's going to get you. When it comes to the Christian life for you and I, we know all of the big sins that we should stay away from. I would be an idiot. I would be a fool if I thought that there's not a guy in this room this week that has gotten high. I'd just be an idiot to think that. There's a guy in this room that has drank alcohol in the last week, guaranteed. There are men in this room, for sure, that have probably even looked at pornography in the last 24 hours. I say this, that's the low-hanging fruit. That's the easy stuff. Yeah. You know better. You were called to better, and just knock it off. Right.
Amen. Amen.
Be done with it. Yes. And here's the thing. I love guys who want to go, well, I only drink socially and only drink. Hey, look, does drinking alcohol make you a better Christian? And the answer to that is guaranteed no.
Yeah. That's right, man.
And Paul says, all things are lawful for me. There might not be a chapter and verse against it, but all things are not best for me. They're not expedient. They're not good for me. And again, when you decide that you want to stop just attending church and you decide that you want to become a man of God, you begin to tighten up the big areas first, and then you take a look at all those other details that come in between, right? And so tonight I'm not talking about the low-hanging fruit. That's easy. Any knucklehead can get that. You don't even need me to tell you what those are because you already know what they are. I'm talking about the gap, that little bitty space that you have there. You see that it's dangerous, but it's not that bad. Yet, it's not that bad yet, but it only goes one direction.
Right.
The Bible tells us that every man is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when sin hath come forth, it brings forth, at the ultimate end of sin is always, somebody help me with it, death. There's no other end. It doesn't end well. So your little minor sin, it's not that big of a deal, ultimately is going to bring forth death in your life. Bottom line, there's no two ways about it. The book of Proverbs, again, I love the book of Proverbs. 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. You can read one every month. Today's October 1st. Today's the 1st or the 2nd. We're second already, right? So today you can read Proverbs 2. Tomorrow read Proverbs 3. You will never exhaust the wisdom of Proverbs.
Amen.
If you read Proverbs 2 again, this time next month, you're going to get something new from it because the Bible's a living book. It's good like that. So if you don't have a good Bible reading plan, Proverb a day is a good place to start. Terrible place to stop, okay? Don't stop there. Just keep going. But here's the idea behind Proverbs. It tells us that there's four categories of men, and you are one of these four men. The first one is the simple. You just didn't know any better. You didn't know that that was a sin. You didn't know that that was a big deal. I got saved when I was a 9-year-old boy in a small Southern Baptist church in Western Kentucky. I got baptized. My parents took me to church 3 times a week. I never was convicted of my sin. I never knew that we were supposed to confess our sin. I just knew you didn't do the bad stuff, right? And if you did the bad stuff, you don't let anybody know and then show up on Sunday and pretend like you didn't really do the bad stuff, right? That's the kind of church that I grew up in. I was legitimately born again at 9 years old, but I never walked with Jesus until I was in my early 20s. You get being born again and actually walking with Jesus are two different things. And some of you haven't progressed to the second part. I want to help you with that this week, all right? So again, my wife and I grew up in this type of church where I'm not discipled. I know that I'm saved, but that's about all I know. I know a lot of Bible stories. I know in the Ark, and I know Moses and Daniel in the lion's den, and I know David and Goliath, and I know Jesus and calming the storm. I know all the stories. I don't really know how it connects to my life. I just know a bunch of Bible facts in my mind. My wife grows up in a non-Christian home. She goes to a Baptist revival when she's 13. She hears the gospel for the first time. She responds. She walks an aisle. Somebody leads her to Christ. She puts her faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The lady at the front says, do you have a church that you go to? And she said, yes. She went to the Methodist church. She went to the Methodist church and never heard the gospel again in her life after that. So again, I'm just helping you guys grow here. There's a difference between church and a Bible preaching church. Not the same. So the two of us meet. We're adults. I am saved with a lot of Bible facts. She's saved and has zero Bible facts. And the two of us get together, fall madly in love, we get married, and then we begin life. And we're kind of doing what we want, you know? Like, hey, I think we should do this. Hey, I don't think we should do that. Hey, I like this kind of music. Hey, I love this movie. We should totally watch this movie. Hey, we should go here. Hey, we should do that. Hey, we should have these kinds of friends. Just doing what we want. Not because we were rebellious and we were shaking our fist at God. We just didn't know any better. And again, you don't know what you don't know. We would be in that category of simple. The next category is the fool. I know what to do. I just don't want to do it. I know it's a sin, but the great part is God forgives sin, right? I know it's not the best for me, but it's better than what I was doing, you know? Hey, I used to drink a six-pack every night. I'm down to a beer a night. I know it's not great, but it's not that bad. This would be the category of the fool. You know better, you just don't do it. Then this category that I hope that none of us are in tonight, and if you are, you got to get out of it with a quickness, is the category of the scorner. I not only want to do what I want to do, I not only know what's right, I actually hate what's right. I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. I'm doing my own thing. I don't need God in my life. I don't need God to tell me what's right, what's wrong. I'm a big boy. I'll make my own decisions. And if God wants me to deal with it, I'll deal with it when I stand before him face to face. Let me just tell you, that's a dangerous category to be in.
That's good.
You know what the scorner also says to the fool? Hey, man, you're taking this way too easy. You need to take the next step over with me. You know what he says to the wise? You're an idiot. You're controlled by this stupid book. This book was written thousands of years ago as a way to control you, is what the scorner says. The scorner hates wisdom, hates it. But then there's the fourth category that I want every single man in this room to be in, to stay in, and that is the wise man. I know what's right, and I want to do it. And when I don't do it, I want to fix the things that are broken in me so that I can do it. I want to know wisdom. I want to walk in wisdom. I want to do what's right. I want to do what honors God. I want to love my wife well. I want to raise my children well. I want to speak to my coworkers well. I want to make Jesus look really good. I don't really understand that whole song that we sang tonight about once for all. But when I go back tonight, I'm going to do a little bit of research on that and figure out what that's about, because I want to be able to worship better. That's what the wise man does. And if that's you, or if that's the man you want to be, let me just tell you this. You are in the right place tonight. You might be sitting here tonight saying, like, hey, I'm already wise. I'm already walking in wisdom. I've been saved for a while. I've been walking with Jesus for a couple of decades. Good. Here's what the Bible says for you. If you instruct a wise man, he'll become yet wiser. So, like, even for me, man, I've been soaking it up. Everything that I'm hearing tonight, man, some of these songs that we sang, I'd never sang before in my life, but I love it. You know why? Because I love the Word of God. Scripture set to music, man, just fires me up, man. So good. But wisdom, here's the thing that Solomon says. Wisdom all begins. The starting place for wisdom. Step number one for wisdom is, anybody want to help me? The fear of the Lord. I know who God is. I know what he expects of me. And I want to follow that with every fiber of my being. That's where wisdom starts. You can't be wise if you don't honor God. You can't be wise if you're not willing to listen to God. And if you know what God says, but you say, yeah, that doesn't apply to me. I don't really want to do that. You, my friend, are a fool. But the good news is, in Jesus, there's hope for fools. Did you know that if you're a scorner, there's hope for you? It's going to be a really, really hard path of humility for you and submission to the authority of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Master. But there's hope for scorners in Jesus Christ. But if you read through the book of Proverbs, there's not a lot of hope for scorners. So as you look at this list, I want you to kind of think in your mind, like, where you're at. I'm trying to help you if you are in that fool category, or maybe you're in the simple category. Like, man, I'm just, like, new to this whole Christianity thing, trying to figure it out. I'm just kicking the tires and trying to find out, like, how do I become a better man? I'm trying to move you into that wise category. And every single message this week is geared towards helping you to move to wisdom. I want to encourage you with this here tonight. Godly men are called to recognize and anticipate spiritual danger. If you're a godly man, it's up to you to recognize and anticipate spiritual danger. How many guys in here have served or are currently serving in the United States military? Raise your hand. Have served or currently serving? Man, a good chunk of guys, right? When you're in the military, they teach you something called situational awareness. For those guys that have served, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You walk into a room and you immediately make an assessment. Okay, there's an entrance right here. Where are the exits at? Where are the threats at in this particular room? There's a guy over there that's wearing a sweatshirt, and it's 85 degrees outside, and he's got his hands in his pockets. That makes me super nervous. I went to lunch with Pastor Chadwick on Monday. We went to In-N-Out. God bless America. We don't have In-N-Out in Hawaii. And I have, when my wife and I travel, I used to carry a smaller belt bag. They're not called fanny packs. They're called belt bags. Belt bag, gentlemen. Not fanny pack. It's a belt bag. And I had one that was a decent size and normal size. My wife and I would travel. I'd put my cell phone in there. I'd put my passport in there. I'd put my wallet in there. Then I started putting my wife's wallet in there. And I started putting her hand sanitizer in there. And I started putting her phone in there. And it got to be a little bit big. And so I started getting a little bit larger belt bag, right? And so I got a good-sized belt bag now. I can actually put two phones in there, two passports in there, boarding passes in there. For all of you that are mocking, let me just say, if you're not secure in your manhood, I can help you with that as well, okay? Belt bag is a male accessory, gentlemen. Please. So anyways, I have an oversized belt bag that I'm wearing. And Pastor Chadwick says to me, he says, do you know what we call that on the San Diego PD? I go, what do you call it? He goes, we call it a gun bag. And I was just like, oh. And come to find out, this bag has magnetic closures on the front and the back to make it really easy to shove your hand down in there. I was like, I never thought about that. Hawaii is an incredibly liberal state where you can't even hardly own a gun, much less carry a gun, right? So I didn't know it was called a gun bag. And he goes, when we see guys with that, our ears immediately perk up and we're watching them everywhere they walk and who they're walking with. What is that? It's situational awareness. You and I need to have spiritual situational awareness. That lady that you work with, she's like, hey, man, looks like you've been working out. Hey, I'm running from that. That's dangerous.
That's so good.
That's good.
No, it's probably just this shirt. Bam, I'm done, you know? Man, that shirt looks good on you. Actually, my wife bought it for me. She is actually my wardrobe consultant. You know what? That's dangerous. Yeah, I've been working out. I've been trying to watch what I eat. You know, I'm actually counting calories right now. Like, what do you do for fitness? Dangerous. Not even going to have that conversation. You know why? Because I know where that leads. I can't afford it, and you certainly can't afford it. So you know what? I have enough situational awareness to say that's dangerous. You're bored. You're on your phone. You pop open Instagram. Let me just tell you, you've walked into a dangerous zone.
So good. Yes.
They're trying to catch you.
Right.
I just love to look at cars, you know. I like to look at, you know, watch old muscle cars smoking tires. Yeah, I'm sure you do. But the enemy knows what you like to look at too.
Right.
And let me just tell you this. If you think to yourself, I can actually handle stuff like that, you have automatically moved yourself to the fool category.
That's right. That's good.
Maybe you're a stronger Christian than I am. I can't handle it. I don't want to be on social media. I don't need that stuff in my life. And so again, I'm trying to help you guys recognize danger and run from it. Here's the problem. Once you're in the middle of danger, you're already stuck. If you look at verse number 3 that we looked at here, what is the prudent man? He foresees danger. I see that this could be dangerous, and I want to step away from that. Not like I got into it and I got in a little too far and now it's gotten dangerous. No, no, no. I knew that was going to be dangerous. That's why I stepped away from that. Wise men practice vigilance. They discern bad things before they appear. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the face, quit ye like men and be strong. That word watch ye is the term for a military sentry. Again, for those of us that have been in the military, you stand watch from time to time, right? And you have the orders of a century that you have to memorize in boot camp and all those other things. And you stand watch, and sometimes it's fun, and sometimes it's not, and sometimes it's exciting. Most of the time it's not, right? But those that have been in the military, I want you to help me with this. During wartime, what happens to a sentry who falls asleep on watch? It's punishable by what? Somebody help me. Punishable by death. You fall asleep on watch during wartime, it's punishable by death. That's how big of a deal this is. Now, the problem for most Christians are asleep on watch. Men, you call yourself a protector and provider for your family. You're asleep on watch. You got teenage kids that got their own phones and you don't know what's going on in there. You're asleep on watch. And let me just tell you for a second, it's punishable by death. And you know what? You'll be held accountable before God for that. And you're allowing your children to go to the way of death. I'm just trying to help you to be vigilant. Discernment is a spiritual discipline that's commanded by God. God wants you to be a discerning, wise Christian. I see, I like this kind of music. Well, what you like could actually be really dangerous for you. Oh, I grew up watching this movie as a kid. You know, it's one of my favorite movies. It could be dangerous for your spiritual health. I got these friends. They're not Christians, but they're good people. They could be dangerous for you. Hey, I got this friend. He calls himself a Christian, but he doesn't really live like it, but I enjoy being around him. That's dangerous for you. And if you're wise, you'll see that ahead of time. You won't be smoking pot with other Christians like, how did I get here? No, wise people don't do that. Men who are just like, oh, I don't know. I was sexually inappropriate with another woman. I don't know how this happened. I do. You were asleep on watch. Nobody just wakes up in bed with somebody and you're like, oh, I have no idea how I got here.
Right.
You were a fool. That's what happened.
That's right.
I can handle this. Not that big of a deal. Discernment, gentlemen. True wisdom moves a man to humble himself and seek God's protection. Particularly verse number 3, a prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. Now, hiding doesn't mean that like I'm scared. It means that I'm finding a place of refuge. We just sang about it right before I got to preach. Where is our refuge found? It's found in Jesus Christ. Hey, when I see danger coming, I'm going to run to Jesus. I'm not going to dilly-dally around. I'm not going to play around with that. Man, when I used to be on social media, I cut social media off probably about 6 years ago because it's just not good for my heart. But I would get friend requests from people that I went to high school with. I haven't spoken to you in 20 years. Why would I want to? But you know what danger does? I wonder what they're doing. Yeah. Click. Oh, I wonder what they're... Maybe I should accept their friend request and I can see more of their profile. Maybe I can just shoot them a quick message to see how things are going. I know a Christian man that I went to church with who left his wife and his two teenage boys to go hook up with his high school girlfriend from Michigan.
Yep.
How did that happen? There was danger and he saw it and you know what he done? He went on. You know what happened? He was punished, his wife was punished, and his children were punished as a result of it. We have a man that was in our church for a while. I was actually trying to disciple him and his wife and help them with marriage counseling. He was in the Army. Got sent TDY in the Army to training for a month. Came back and had a sexual affair with his superior, his boss, basically. If you're in the military, you know fraternization. Said, no. Comes back and he confesses to his wife, comes in, we begin to have a conversation about it. And I said, man, Chris, you really messed this one up, man. You're going to have to, you need to repent to your wife. You need to repent to the Lord. You need to break this off altogether. And he says, you know what? It's funny because for the last 20 years of our marriage, I've been trying to make my wife happy. When is it my turn to be happy? Wait, what? No. I do for everybody else. I think it's time that I do for me. What? Where did this come from? Chris, how did this happen? Well, even before this trip, I was getting really, really friendly with my boss. Here we go. This didn't just happen overnight. This didn't just happen on a work trip. His heart had already begun to drift. And he thought, I deserve to be happy. And guess what? You're a fool. Worst part about it, two kids are now growing up without a dad. Do you think the relationship worked out with him and his boss? Of course it didn't. You know good and well it didn't. But man, he's trying to be happy. Fool. There's danger. He saw it. He didn't run from it. When we're confronted with temptation, the wise man will seek God as the refuge and protector. When temptation comes, man, I'm running to Jesus. Hey, when the temptation comes, would you please call somebody?
Amen. That's good.
Yeah, that's good.
Call somebody. Hey, bro, I'm getting ready to blow up my life, and I really need you to talk me down right now.
That's good.
You know the problem? I'll just say this, guys. I love you, and this is why I'm going to say what I'm going to say to you. In a moment like that, when you've already made your mind up, you don't want anybody to talk you down.
That's right.
You just want to do it. Got your phone out, getting ready to pull up that app and start looking at porn. You're not going to call anybody because you really want to look at porn. And let me just tell you, there's no help for that. You know what you are? You're the fool. You're going to go on. You can look at the porn if you want to, but you'll be punished as a result of it. And then when you're done, you'll be like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I'm never going to get over this. Hey, dude, you made the choice. But the help is there.
Amen.
If you'll take it.
Amen.
That's what the wise man will do. Hey, I'm tempted. This is not good for me. I think I need to call somebody. That's what the wise will do. The simple goes on and is punished. Protecting yourself and others is an act of godly leadership and love. Protecting yourself and others. Gentlemen, here's the thing. I love being a man. I love it. I love manly men. It's one of the reasons why I love your pastor so much. I've been around pastors before that are sissies and wimps and like, well, you should really follow Jesus. I know it's hard, but I promise it'll be worth it. Like, no, man, I love people who just say, hey, here's what Jesus says. If you don't like it, man, you can go shovel bricks or something. I don't know. I love like manly men. We had a tsunami warning. You guys got the tsunami warning end of July, right? There's like earthquake in Russia. You know, there's going to be 18-foot waves that are going to crush entire cities. And we're in Honolulu. Supposedly, we're going to get the worst of it. And so I'm telling my wife the whole time, like, hey, nothing's going to happen with this. Like, it's totally going to fizzle out. I guarantee you. She's like, what if it doesn't? For us, we live on the second floor of our church building, and our church building is probably half mile from the water line, and we're actually below sea level where we're at. And so if it comes in, we're going to be in a really bad spot. And so my son lives next door in an apartment complex there on the sixth floor. And she said, let's just go to Thatcher's house, and we can stay on the sixth floor. If everything passes, we can go. And again, I don't want to be the fool here who goes on and is punished. And so I'm trying to be wise. I don't think it's going to be anything. But if it did, let's just be wise and be prepared. And so my wife says, I'm going to pack some stuff. You should pack a bag too. Okay. And so I pack stuff in a backpack and we go and we get there. And we're in my son's apartment. We're watching the news and waiting for the non-issue of the tsunami that did never came. And so my wife is asking me, she's like, oh, I brought peanut butter and I brought bread. And she was like, did you pack your blood pressure medication? I said, no, I didn't even think about it. And she was like, well, did you pack a toothbrush? No, I didn't think about that either. And she was like, well, did you pack all this other stuff that my wife thinks that I should have packed? Did you pack any of that? No, I did not pack any of that. None of it. And she was like, what did you pack? I packed a flashlight, $1,000 in cash, a 9mm and 2 clips. And she was like, you did what? Babe, have you ever seen those like end of the world movies, you know? Like, I've got blood pressure medication, you know? What are you gonna do with that? And she's like, what is wrong with you? I love being a man, like packing a bag like that, you know? Here's the thing about it. Like, again, man, you guys went out and shot today and shooting stuff like that. I love shoot. I love guns. I love America. I love the Second Amendment. I'm here for all of it. Just write that down, right? Here's the problem. You and I get geeked out about, like, I sleep with a 9mm next to my bed. You know, I concealed carry. I've got this bag that you just pull and flip it out. I got it, man. Like, we get jacked about being, like, the protectors. Are you that jacked about being the spiritual protector of your family? Well, now come to my house. I'll put six shots in them. Bang, bang. You know, I got another clip right at the ready. I've got a laser sight. I've got NVGs. I can like drop it. Don't come in my house. But you let your kids watch Netflix unfiltered.
Come on.
You're not a protector. You're cosplaying as like a police officer is all you're doing, you know?
Wow.
Are you a protector? If you are, you'll say, hey, we're locking down this Netflix like Fort Knox here. Yeah. Hey, let me get your phone. You're not going to the internet. You're not going to YouTube. You're not going on TikTok. You're not creating a Snapchat account. We don't do that in this house. You know why? Because I love you too much.
That's right.
Amen. I have a 17-year-old daughter. The worst thing in the world that I could do for a 17-year-old girl is give her Instagram.
Amen. That's right.
Worst thing ever. You know why? Because she's going to see, I don't look like these girls. Well, that girl's 17, my age, and she looks like that. I'm doing something wrong. Oh, I don't like this about me. Oh, here's a girl who's my age who just got her nose done, and I got this weird bump on my nose that I'm kind of insecure about. And you know what that does? It feeds insecurity into a 17-year-old. That's the worst thing that I could do for my girl. And here's what girls will understand, too. I'm going to talk about this on Sunday with your church. Girls understand this. I post a picture of me and my dog, and I get 6 likes. I post a picture of me in my bikini at the beach, 17-year-old girl, and she gets 128 likes. She posts a picture of her reading her Bible, and she gets 3 likes. She posts another picture of her in a bikini, and she gets 250 likes. You know what she realizes really, really quick? I have something that's valuable to the world. Whether it's a 13-year-old boy or a 78-year-old man, they find value in what I have to offer. And she learns at a very young age that her sexuality is the only thing she has to offer this world. And this is going on in her bedroom, and I'm sitting on the couch watching TV.
Come on.
You're not a protector. You're asleep on watch. Man. Shameful. Oh, my girl's talking to this guy in Wisconsin, and he says that he's a 17-year-old boy, but I think he's a 36-year-old guy. I don't really know what to do. Man, you were asleep on watch is what happened to you. And you know what the end result's going to be? Death. Again, we get all hyped up about being men and being the protectors of our house and all that other stuff, but you're letting filth and sewage come in your front door. You're giving your kids devices to connect them to be programmed by the world, and you call yourself a protector because you know how to shoot a gun? Because you have a billy club underneath your driver's seat of your car? That's not a protector. I'm all for those things. Please don't get me wrong. It's not an either or, it's a both and. That's what protectors and providers do. And so, again, I see danger as it comes, and I say, get away from that. Run from that. Ignoring spiritual danger leads to certain defeat and consequences. If I pretend like this isn't really out there, I will be defeated and there will be consequences. Again, I'm just going to speak to you guys like I speak to who we call. I'm going to ask you this question. When someone continues to suffer defeat again, and again, and again, what do we call that type of person? Anybody want to help me with that? What happens when you continually lose? What are you called? You're a loser. None of us want to be spiritual losers, but this is what happens when you're not awake and you're not paying attention and you don't see the danger. You will go on and you will be punished. And again, there's more people that will be punished than just you. Please get that. If you're a husband, your wife will be punished. If you have children, your children will be punished. If you are a member of a local New Testament church, your church family will be punished. This isn't just you. I can blow up my life if I want to, preacher. It's not just you. If you call yourself a Christian and you go to work and you're calling yourself a Christian, you're blowing up the name of Jesus for heaven's sakes. And let me just say this. Jesus is so good, it takes a lot of work to make him look bad. But you do it. Isn't that wild? People call themselves Christians and then behave worse than the unsaved man. You make Jesus look bad, and that's a lot of work because he's so good. But for those of us, when we ignore the danger, we go on, hey, it's dangerous, but it's not that big of a deal. My kid just really enjoys Snapchat. It's the way that she communicates with her aunt. She's connecting with more than her aunt on Snapchat. I'm just going to tell you that.
Come on, Pastor.
Have you had to sit down and talk with your kids about the dangers of these types of things? Get this. The average age to exposure to pornography in the United States of America is 9 years old. If you have a 9-year-old and you haven't talked to them about sexuality and pornography yet, in 9-year-old terms, you're behind. The world's going to get to them before you do. I deal with men, dozens of men, struggling with pornography addiction. Guy just this past week, he's in his late 40s. How long have you been struggling with pornography? Since I was a kid. Okay. What age? I think I found my dad's magazines and then I found my brother's stash later, probably when I was six. Six. How old are you now? 47. How long have you been addicted? Since I was six. 4 decades of pornography addiction? You know what happened? He didn't have a protector, or his protector was asleep. What am I doing? I'm trying to help him clean up the mess. Can it be fixed? Guaranteed. Amen. Always victory in Jesus, 100% of the time.
Amen. Amen.
But when you program this brain that the opposite sex is just a collection of body parts for 4 decades, it's going to take a minute to unwind that.
Yeah.
But Jesus can do it.
Yes.
There's hope there. So again, we have to look at this and say, hey, this is dangerous. Hey, this is no good for me. To downplay or to dismiss sin is to ensure personal destruction and guarantee that you lose. You want to be a loser? Downplay your sin. It's not that big of a deal. And some of you are sitting here tonight going, man, praise God, he's giving me victory over pornography, and I'm praising God with you. Praise God, he's giving me victory over alcohol, and I'm praising God with you. Has God given you victory over your anger yet? Has God given you victory over your selfishness yet? Has God given you victory over your pride yet? And again, now I'm talking about what's in the gap. You got that big, low-hanging fruit. You got that knocked out. Get them, preacher. Let them have it. I'm talking about the things that you say, well, everybody struggles with pride. Whether we struggle with it or not doesn't make it right. You and I both have areas of our life where we dismiss that it's not that big of a deal. And, you know, at least I'm not looking at porn. At least I'm faithful to my wife. I've struggled with anger since I was a child. I grew up in a home, both my parents were Christians, I was saved at a young age. My mom was abusive, and she yelled at everything. Both my parents grew up in the home of alcoholic abusive men, and so they just kind of, my mom stayed with what she knew, and my dad kind of charted a new path and says, I don't ever want my kids to ever have to go through what I went through. My mom just kind of repeated the cycle. There's a thing for me when I was younger that when my mom would scream at me or my mom would yell or she would throw things or she would hit me, I would cower in fear and I'd be really, really scared. And I'd go to my room and I'd cry and I'd be afraid. And there came a point probably around 11, 10 years old where I got to be a little bit bigger. And I no longer was afraid of my mom. My mom's like 5'4" and she's really small. I'm bigger than you. And she began to scream and yell at me and I would laugh at her. And then that anger that came towards me, it began to well up in me and it went right back out the opposite direction. And of course, all that went away when I became moved out of a house on my own, right? No, that became who I was. And my anger ruled me. And then I meet my wife, I married way over my head and you guys did too.
Amen.
I'm just going to pause for just a second and say this. If you're married tonight, would you do your wife a favor tonight and go home and say, sweetheart, thanks for letting me go to the men's retreat so that I can be helped by the word.
Amen.
She needs some gratitude from you.
Yeah.
Especially if she's at home watching the kids all by herself. Just showing some gratitude to her would go a long way. Hey, babe, thanks for letting me be here. I'm going to be helped by this. But I married my wife and I realized that this type of anger coming out on her is going to be ultra destructive. And so here's what I did. I put a lid on it and it didn't come out anymore. I thought, I'm good. It didn't go away. It still raged inside. And the thoughts that I would think, I wouldn't say them. It's not as destructive if you don't say it right. It's not a sin if you don't say it, right? That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says if you think in your heart, it's like committing murder. But for the longest time, I said, at least I'm not losing my cool. I've never once yelled at my kids. Yelled. Ever not. I've raised my voice. Hey, knock it off. Don't ever speak to your mother that way again. I've done that before. I've never screamed at my kids once. I've never cursed at my kids ever once in my life.
Amen.
Ever. I've never hit my children in anger. I've never hit my children not in anger. I haven't done any of that. But there have been times in my life where the rage inside of me is just boiling. But it's okay because it doesn't come out, right? Wrong. Just as destructive, if not worse. Because on the outside, everything's great. Everything's cool. On the inside, I hate your guts and I hope you die in a car crash, you know? Not helpful. And being transparent with you guys, I've shared this with my church family too, so it's no secret. Beginning of this year, I said, I'm going to stop being angry. I can't do it on my own. It's part of my DNA. It's part of who I am. Well, my mom was angry with me, and I'm just an angry person. Yeah, you can use that excuse for a while, but that's exactly what it is. It's an excuse. And if I believe in the power of the gospel, and I do, it changes people from the inside out. And so I made a decision this year. I'm going to make war on my anger. What does that look like? Reading a ton of scripture, meditating on it, memorizing it, and when those feelings come up, doing that. I read a ton of books. I confessed my sin publicly before my church family. I asked people to keep me accountable and ask me how I'm doing with that. I confessed to my wife, and my wife says to me, like, my wife was like borderline embarrassed for me, like secondhand embarrassment. Like, why did you say that in front of our church? Like, you made yourself out like you're an angry person, and that's not who you are. And I said, babe, if you could see in my heart, you would not like what you see. And she goes, but that's not you. It is on the inside. I'm talking about the gap here tonight. You with me? I got the low-hanging fruit. I knocked that out a long time ago. Man, I haven't looked at pornography in over 2.5 decades. I haven't used foul language in over 2.5 decades. I've never been inappropriate with another woman. You know, I've cut off my Facebook 8 years ago. Like, I've never drank alcohol a day in my life, not once. I've never smoked a cigarette before. I've never taken drugs of any sort whatsoever in my entire life. I got the big stuff knocked out, but it's the small stuff that'll kill you, gentlemen. That we begin to say, like, it's not that big of a deal. At least I'm not looking at porn. Yeah, I get angry to the point where I want to strangle people. Yeah, I get in fits of rage where in my mind I think of grabbing somebody by the throat and throwing them against the wall. But I'm not looking at porn, for heaven's sakes. And I didn't grab anybody by the throat and put them up against the wall. So it's not that big of a deal. That's dangerous.
That's right.
When you begin to make excuses for sin, you're in dangerous territory. Don't do it. Staying spiritually clueless will only lead to death and destruction. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of, somebody help me, death. You think you know what you're doing, you're just going to blow your life up. Please don't blow your life up. Now, victory over sin is possible only through honest humility and Jesus' power. Two things that will help you fix your sin problem. Honest humility and Jesus' power. That's the only hope that you have. And you know what humility looked like for me? Standing up in front of the people that I love and shepherd and saying, your shepherd is sick and he needs your prayers. And you know what? You might think to yourself, well, that must have been really embarrassing for you. I wasn't embarrassed at all. You know why? Because I know that I got a group of people who love my socks off.
Yes.
And will pray for me and love me and support me and help me. Would you please pray for me? I'm not well in this area. But with Jesus' help, I can be well.
Yes.
And you know what the devil says? Ooh, don't do that, man. People are talking about you. I don't think anybody talked about it at all. You know what I did hear back from people, though? Thanks for being transparent with that. I struggle with anger, too. You know, I really connected with you when you said that about that rage inside of you. I really connected with that, and I needed to hear that. And you know what your confession and humility will do? It'll allow other people to confess and be humble, too.
Yep.
Hear me out. Pride is contagious, but humility is too. When you begin to see that God blesses humility and God honors humility, you're going to say, like, I can do that. And with Jesus' power, I can fix what's broken inside of me. Gentlemen, take all of your excuses tonight and set them to the side and say, I submit my life to Jesus Christ and allow him to fix the things that are broken inside of me. this weekend is a weekend to be done with your pornography addictions, the weekend to be done with your alcohol struggles, the days to be done with your anger, your anxiety, your fear, your depression. I'm just going to lay it all at Jesus' feet. And again, I'm not going to fix it overnight. Please understand, you can't change anything overnight by yourself, but you can submit your life to Christ in humility, and you can lean on His power and the tools that He's given you in the local New Testament church. And by the grace of God, you can fix it with His help.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to give you four final thoughts here tonight, and we're done. First of all, I want to encourage you to practice spiritual vigilance. I'm going to start looking at my playlist of music that I listen to and find out the things that have got to go. Some of you listen to podcasts that are dangerous
right.
for you. Let me just say that.
So good.
Somebody told me one time, it's like, have you ever listened to Joe Rogan? He's becoming really conservative. He's saying a lot of really good things. I was like, oh, right on. I'd like to listen to that. And I put it on, no lie, within the first 45 seconds, I hear about 8 F words. And I'm like, who recommended this to me?
Right.
Kidding me? And here Christians quote Joe Rogan. It's like, and here's what I did. Okay, if the guy's saying good things and people are being helped by that, and some people say he's going to church and seeking Jesus and all these other things, and I'm thankful for any of that, is there like a sanitized version of the Joe Rogan podcast I can listen to without all the cursing, without all the pot smoking, without all the sexual references? Is there one of those? And guess what? It doesn't exist. So when somebody says, I love listening to the Joe Rogan podcast, you know what I think in my mind? You are a, somebody help me. You're a fool, man. Please don't say that too loud, because you just announced to everybody that you're a fool. Here's the excuse that I hear. I hear talk like that all the time, and I can handle it. That shows that you are a double fool.
Right.
And let me just help you with something, too. If you can hear foul, filthy, vile language, and it doesn't affect your heart, you, friend, have quenched the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Right. Wow. Exactly right.
If you can look at women in bikinis on Instagram and it doesn't cause something in you to be like, don't do that, you, my friend, have quenched the Holy Spirit.
Right.
When you can raise your voice at your wife and talk ugly to your kids and sharp and unkind to them, and that doesn't bother you, friend, you have quenched the Holy Spirit. And that's dangerous, right? I'm going to help you with something tonight. The Holy Spirit is the check engine light on your car. One time we were living in the great state of California. We had a Land Rover Discovery. It was a 1995 Land Rover Discovery. I loved that vehicle. It had the jump seats in the back. It was white with a black trim. It was awesome. I loved it. That Land Rover Discovery, the check engine light would always come on that. And I tried to chase it down. It was before had the ODB computers on it, and you had to really chase it down. I couldn't figure out exactly what it was. And you take it in for smog in California, you turn the key over and start it, and the check engine light comes on, automatic fail, right? And so I couldn't get it re-registered because the check engine light would come on. Took it to a mechanic, he couldn't figure out what was going on with it. So I'm smart, right? I got the bright idea that I'm going to take the dash apart. Anybody with me so far? I'm going to take that bulb, and I'm going to unplug it, and I'm going to put the dash back in there. Hey, check engine light's off. Look at that, right? And so I take it in. I'm so proud of myself. Like, I got this figured out. I beat the system. Yeah, I stuck it to the man on this one. I take it in. First thing they do is they turn the key over but don't start it and wait for all the lights on the dash to come up. Oh, man, I didn't think about that. Hey, your check engine light doesn't come on when you turn the key over to the first position. Oh, man, that's wild. It's wild, man. I don't know how that happened. That's so weird. But that's good, though, right? Check engine light doesn't come on, right? No, man. I'm going to get in there and replace that bulb. No, man, you don't have to do that. Replaces the bulb. Bing, comes right back on. I'm sorry, you failed again. Great. Excellent. Check engine light isn't a bad thing. It's actually a really, really good thing.
Right.
And when the Holy Spirit says, stop looking at porn, and you reach up and you turn the Holy Spirit off, you're putting yourself in a very, very dangerous category here.
So good.
Your engine's about to blow. Your transmission's about to blow. Like, you're toast. You're in dangerous territory. But you can move on and not even feel bad about it because you quenched the Holy Spirit. But wise men, godly men, which is what I want for every guy in this room, practice spiritual vigilance.
So
number two, take preventative action.
Amen.
When you see potential spiritual danger, don't rationalize it. If you know you have a proclivity to pornography, would you set boundaries in place? Now, the boundaries just slow you down. You know that already, right? Oh, I can put software on there. I can delete this app. If you're really hard up for porn, you're going to find it. I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it because it's in a men's group. And there was a guy that I was helping with pornography that had, we locked his phone down like Fort Knox. He basically could text, make phone calls, and use Google Maps. And we meet together the next week. He's like, hey, man. He was like, oh, man, I looked at porn again this week. How did you get access to porn? We've cut everything off. I found that if I went on Google Maps and I looked up strip clubs, that I could find photos that people had posted of strippers in strip clubs, and I masturbated to those. I think you're the first person I've ever met that's masturbated to Google Maps. And you're like, oh, heart's so wicked, right? That's your heart. You think you're better than that guy? That's the same heart that you and I have. Masturbating to Google Maps, what the world? That's how badly your heart wants what it wants. So you've got to set boundaries in place. Now, the boundaries will only slow you down to cause you enough time to think, the Holy Spirit is telling me, knock it off. You asked for accountability. You asked for this software because you want to stop. Please stop. The fool's going to say, nope, just this one last time, and then I'll stop. No. Take preventative action. Next, embrace humility and seek accountability. The best thing that you could do, gentlemen, tonight is to find another godly man that you trust and say, hey, bro, I'm struggling with X. Would you please pray with me and help me? And let me just say this to you, gentlemen. If you don't rope your pastor into this conversation with you at some point, you are a, help me,
fool.
Guaranteed. God has given you a spiritual authority to watch for your soul, to help you, to shepherd you, to protect you, to lead you, to feed you, and you're going to cut him out of your process? That doesn't even make sense. You're a fool. Don't be a fool. Hey, Pastor, I talked with Joe about this. We had a time of prayer, but I want to loop you on this as well. Man, I'm struggling with pornography, and I have been for like the last 10 years. Hey, Pastor, I already talked with Mike about this, and I had an inappropriate relationship with a coworker last week, and I need to talk to my wife about it. I need wisdom from you as to how best to have that conversation. And let me just tell you this. You say, oh, it's in the past. God's forgiven me. Nobody has to know. Be sure your sin will find you out.
Yeah.
You're keeping secrets from your wife. It's only a matter of time.
Amen.
And again, if you're a man, you're willing to stand up and take your licks and get what's coming to you to get the healing that you need.
That's good.
Otherwise, you're just living a lie until you get found out. So be humble. You're not perfect. I'm not either. Like, I literally stood before you tonight and confessed my sin before you. You know why? Because I want to walk in humility. Because pride will destroy you. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Only a matter of time. Be humble. Seek accountability from other godly men. Finally, this is it. Lead courageously by example. Lead courageously by example. You don't have to be ashamed of your sin. You know who wants to keep you ashamed of your sin? Anybody want to help with that? Satan, the enemy. He wants to make you feel guilty and shameful and embarrassed, and I can't bring that up. Satan. You know who wants to tell you that every other guy in this room has got his act together except for me? Look at all these guys praising Jesus with their hands up and singing really loud. Like, I am the only guy in this room this week that's struggling with sin. That's a lie of the devil, and you bought a hook, line, and sinker. And you are a fool. But you know what the wise man will say? I'm not the only guy struggling here. And even if I was, I'm not going to allow my pride to destroy my life anymore. I'm just going to be humble. I'm just going to come out with it. And it is what it is. And look, I would rather be embarrassed by my sin amongst my brothers and sisters in Christ than to be ashamed of my sin and allow the devil to continue to feed me lies. Let me just tell you this. There's no shame in Jesus' body. There's no shame in the body of Christ. Galatians 6 literally tells us that it's our responsibility to help you through that. That's what the church is here for. So be willing to lead courageously by example. Gentlemen, none of us are perfect, but you might have taken care of all that low-hanging fruit. If not, fix it tonight. You might even be here tonight and say, I don't even know that I'm saved. That's step one. You can't have victory over any sin while it's still on your account. If you need to get saved tonight. Gentlemen, you might have some low-hanging fruit that you need to get rid of really, really quickly tonight. Just offload that. That's keeping you back from Jesus. But I know a lot of guys in here would be considered mature, godly Christians, and maybe you knocked out that low-hanging fruit a long time ago, but you got that little gap. And that gap's dangerous. Because inside this gap, there's no huge sin. There's no big sin. Just need to tighten it up a little bit. This is the week to tighten it up. Amen. I'm not making excuses for this anymore. I'm going to attack this. And you know what's the funny part about this is God's given me a ton of victory this year over my anger. Like it's like night and day. Like on a scale of 1 to 10, I was like a 9.8 of my anger in my heart beginning of this year. I'm at like probably maybe a 1.8 lately. God's just getting a ton of victory this year. I'm thankful for that. And guess what? Man, I am completely free from sin, right? No, not at all. Something else is creeping up right behind me, ready to attack again, because that's the way the enemy works. So you know what I got to do? Gentlemen, head on a swivel. Spiritual situational awareness. And here's the thing, too. One of the things that I've struggled with my whole life is pride. Insecurity. And somebody's going to say, Pastor King, that was a great message. And my flesh is going to say, think so? Tell me all about it. What do you think about it? What was your favorite part? Did you like this? Oh, man. What about this application? That was really good. You know what that is? It's pride. And you know what? If you say, great message, I'm going to say, praise God, it's been a really good book. You know? Praise God, that proverb is phenomenal. Because it's not about me, it's all about Jesus. So take that gap, tighten it up tonight.
Thank you for listening. Hear more messages anytime at CanyonRidgeBaptist.com. If you're in the San Diego area, please join us for a service. We meet on Sundays at 8:30 a.m., 10:30 a.m., and 5 o'clock p.m. We look forward to seeing you.